Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the VR Side Chats podcast. This week I chat with filmmaker and world chaser, Daniel Berry. Daniel, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, it's great to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
So yeah, can you just tell us a bit about your background and how you got into VR?
In 2015, I was living in Sydney, Australia, and I had been making travel documentaries in 2D, just regular travel documentaries, and then I discovered VR. I went to I saw 360 videos like somewhere, forgot where, and I was just like, whoa, this is amazing. And then I went to like a meetup in Sydney, and then I tried it, and then I just really wanted to learn more about it. So I cold called a VR company in Sydney. I was really lucky because they're actually one of like the most well-known VR companies in the world, and they were doing stuff for Samsung and GoPro and all these like really high profile VR shoots. So I called them and I said, I just want to like work for you and learn how to do it. And so then they like hired me immediately, and I just learned the whole workflow within a few months. Mm-hmm. And then I think they were like had plans to hire me, but then I was like, I'm going to go to Burma. I'll be back. And I bought like a one-way flight to Burma. And then I really didn't know it was like an experiment. I just wanted to like film the experience and see what happened. And then I ended up meeting a revolutionary monk, like a poet on the train. And he ended up taking me on this journey through the country to all these underground events and like poetry readings, and I got a really good story. So it set a bit of a benchmark, and I realized what was possible with telling a story in this medium and how like immersive and great it could be. So with that as a benchmark, I just kept going, and then I bought like a flight to Nepal, and I went there and I shot another documentary, and then I went to the Philippines. And then I went back to Sydney, and by then I was just bitten by the travel bug, and I ended up buying a flight to South America, and I filmed two more documentaries there in Brazil and Peru, and then just I was there for like 6 months. And then I went to LA and got an agent and a manager, and then I screened at Cannes Film Festival, and then everything just started happening really quick. So it's just been a crazy journey these past couple of years.
So you're talking about the like VR docs and stuff that you did. Was that like pre-planned? Like, did you have an idea of what countries you wanted to go to before you flew out to Burma originally? Was it planned as a series?
I didn't really like when I flew to Burma the first time. Like, I wasn't really sure what was going to happen from it. It was a giant experiment. Like that, it was like 2015. No one had really done very much VR. There was just like a few 360 videos out there. It was very early. Like the very first 360 documentaries were coming out. No one had really, that I'd seen, like told a story in the medium. So I was like, oh, I'm going to show people you can make a story. And I don't know, like it just kind of evolved with time. But I did like the 2D documentaries that I did before. It was meant to be a series. Like, we were trying to create a series of documentaries. It was also called Chasing the World. It actually screened at a few film festivals, including ITV Fest. And it won like best in its category. And so we thought we were going to try to get funding to film a whole season of that. And then I guess I just like, then I discovered VR, and then I was like, oh, I'll just do it in VR. And so the idea of it being a series was always there, but I really didn't know what was going to come of me going in with this 360 equipment to Burma, and it just turned into a series. But yeah.
So like none of the like places you visited in like each episode, like you planned out before, it just all kind of happened organically, just sort of turned up and was like, right, let's see where this takes me.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'd been to Burma before. I knew that there was a good story to be captured there. So that's why I chose it as the first place. I just love that country. And then Nepal, I'd never been to before. And like the reason why I went to Nepal is because I met a guy like in a hostel who was like, you need to go to Nepal. You got to go to Nepal next. And he like was, and I was like, okay, I'm going to Nepal. So I did. So after Burma, it was all just kind of like, let's see where this takes me. Because I wanted to capture like a real, like if you're a traveler just going off and traveling for like a year break, like I wanted to kind of give it that vibe and make it real. And I'm just capturing my real journey. So it wasn't really planned at all, but I knew what I had to capture to get a good story. Like I said, like the benchmark for in Burma was like set. So I had to replicate that or do better going forward. So I was just really lucky that I met Ukito on that train in Burma, because that just changed everything so much. Cause it could have just been like a travel series, like without like those like hard hitting stories, like political stories and cultural stories that are, you know, historical, which like I was there during a very historical time in Burma. And then, so I just was looking for those type of stories from that point on.
Yeah. And that's what I loved about it, is just, you know, that random encounter that, you know, just led to everything else.
So, yeah. Really important, like to capture, cause I think with virtual reality, like, in order to be lost in the story, it needs to be real. And a lot of VR stuff is very scripted. It's really hard to film VR. There's a lot of post-production involved. You got to be worried about what the camera's doing. It can't move. You'll make people sick. So because of that, when, you know, teams and crews for like these big companies like Discovery and like National Geographic and, you know, New York Times, and they go to film a VR piece, it's very pre-planned. Like everything's planned. And even if it's a documentary and they have like the script of what like the narrator is going to say and everything. And then they know like, oh, I got to shoot this shot and this shot and this shot. With me, I had no plan. And I just was capturing the world like as it unfolded around me, which I think really helped with the immersion when the viewer is there, because what you're looking at is actually real. It's not, I'm not hiding anything. Like, I'm not hiding behind a rock or anything. I'm there talking to people. It's like, it's reality. So I think that's one thing that's different about,
because that's like a, like you, well, you just mentioned there about like hiding behind a rock and stuff. That's kind of, you know, sometimes when you watch stuff, you're looking around to see if you could, you know, spot a foot or something, like hiding behind a tree and stuff like that. But then, like you say, you're always in it, like for the most part. It was awesome. And I appreciate you sending it over, because it was fantastic to watch. And it was, you did a great job, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
So what did you shoot on?
I had a couple rigs that I put together. This was in 2015. This is like the days before the Omni and any like consumer rigs. Like there was no Samsung Gear 360. Like it was like a year before that. So I couldn't afford the GoPro rigs. So I had like the Freedom 360, where you have like the six GoPros and it's like in that mount, and like it was way too expensive for me. So I was working for Rapid, so I got the concept of shooting 360. So I realized like, okay, I can totally do this with the Yi cameras, the Xiaomi Yi. It's what Google's using now for the Yi Halo. So I got six of those. And then on Reddit, there was like instructions on how to create a 3D or a 360 rig with those cameras. And you just like, they have the instructions for how to 3D print the mount. So I just did that, got it 3D printed, and then I slotted the Yi cameras in there. I had to like open them up and like tweak a few things, like adjust the focus, and then I had to in the SD cards change like the text file to make it to tell the camera to shoot a different field of view, so it's like, so you get more overlap, and that's the way to get it to work. But like, it was like $700 only to like build this camera, as opposed to like over 5,000 if I would have gone with GoPros. And then, yeah, when I was in Bangkok, I found like a little stand that had like hundreds of the Yi batteries, and I just like, and they were like a dollar each. So I just like bought a ton. So I would like, I could just keep filming for a while. I would just charge them all for like a couple days, and then I could just go off and like go off the grid and just like film for a very long time. So, and like that would never be possible with GoPros, even like if it was with some big company, because those batteries are so expensive. They're like $40 each. Like it would just wouldn't be practical. So, yeah, I'm glad that that happened, that I made that rig, because it worked really well for what I was doing.
About the audio.
So I had a Rode mic that I would rig on So if you look at some shots, if you look down, there's a graphic and it has like all the information, like the temperature and like location of where you are. And like, honestly, that's covering a giant microphone apparatus that I had like hooked onto the bottom of the monopod. But then, yeah, some when shots when I didn't need to capture audio, I like the hot air ballooning and like anything that I like went into saying like, oh, I'm going to just capture really beautiful shots and I'm not going to necessarily worry about the audio. I just would leave it out. And then if I needed to record audio, if I was with a lot of people, then I'd put the mic down there. So, yeah, it was tricky knowing when to film with the microphone and when not to. But I got kind of good at it. I just get like a sixth sense of like knowing like when something special is going to happen, someone's going to say something that you're going to want to put into the final piece. So, yeah.
How this is like, because I watched them again this morning just to have a quick refresh. How did you feel like during that pig slaughter scene? Because I was like watching it, it's like this is quite tough to watch, even though it's like not graphic at all, and like the pig's not squealing or anything like that. But I don't know, it was quite tough.
Yeah, no, I was really drunk by that point because they were like, I don't know, didn't make it to the final cut, but we went to that wedding first. So if you like see the shots of the wedding, like we already had a wedding all day before that. And we were drinking their moonshine. That also, like, there's so many things I didn't put in that I should have, but like 360 can be so boring if there's too much going on. So I ended up cutting them down like a lot. Like I cut out a lot of stuff that's really interesting, but yeah, I was like drinking moonshine with like the locals, and then we get back to like the area where the pig slaughter happened, which is like right outside where we were staying. By the way, I'm going to talk about that right after this because it's like too good of a story that didn't make on camera as well. But yeah, no, they were like passing around like a bottle of like rum or vodka or like something like around in circles, and like no one was. They were just like drinking, and it just kept going around. So then by the time like the pig slaughter was happening, I was just like, wow, this is crazy. Like, I don't know. But yeah, like, yeah, it was crazy. But also, yeah, and then, yeah, we were sleeping in. So my friend set this up. My like friend from college, from university, called me when I was in Burma. And he's like, I heard what you're doing. It's so awesome. Like, let's meet in the Philippines and I'm going to try to like set something up. John Michael. And so is his name. And he like found this community up in Banaue and set up this whole amazing adventure. Like, it was so awesome what he did. So, we were like, but yeah, basically like we stayed in, this like teepee type structure and they lit a fire in the middle of it. And so there's like this, we slept next to this fire and it's going billowing smoke. And then in this like teepee, like next to us, they like told us like this is where our grandparents are, and we're like, okay. Turns out it's where their grandparents' like dead bodies are, like their mummified remains of the grandparents. They were like next to like the mummified remains of these grandparents, and they were sleeping next to the fire. And we're just like, what's going on? But like, it was crazy. And then I got really sick, and I was like, I think I got food poisoning, like from the probably from the wedding or like the pig or something, and like. It was like, I don't know, I don't want to get too graphic, but it was like, I was like waterfalling into this like pit. And then like the grandma came and like did a spell on my stomach to try to like save me. And it was just crazy. Anyway, moving on.
Did the spell work?
I also was taking I had like leftover antibiotics that like my doctor in the U.S. told me to just take. So I think that might have helped. But within 2 days, I was, yeah.
that would probably be it.
Yeah. Or it was probably the spell. Who knows?
I'd like to say the spell.
I think, well, it's like the power of spells is they get you to do things. So I think she cast a spell and then I was like, oh, I need to take antibiotics. So I think that's what it was. That's how they work. That's how the spells work.
So what's next for the series? Where are you going to next?
So I want to do so I filmed six episodes for Chasing the World. Mm-hmm. And so for the next series, I want to do something a bit different because with VR, the technology is constantly progressing. And so with 360 video, that was cutting edge at the time, not necessarily cutting edge now. So I want to do some. So I was just in Berlin learning photogrammetry and like volumetric video, and VR animation, like all these volumetric types of VR content. And so I want to do a travel series that incorporates this new technology. And so I've got, I don't really want to like say it yet, but I've got, I'm like really happy with this idea I have. And so, yeah, but it's going to basically involve that new technology. And I really want to tell stories. I've kind of realized Chasing the World, you know, it's like a travel series. It sounds like a travel show. It's like, cool, travel the world. But really what I was doing with Chasing the World is like telling like human stories about, you know, people and like really giving like a platform for people to tell their stories. Because when I was filming throughout the whole time, it was like people were coming to me, seeing my equipment and seeing my work and being like, oh, tell my story, tell my story. So I want to kind of do that. And now, like, now I'm more focused on the intention behind what I'm doing. And I want to, like, be more selective in, like, what stories are told and kind of allow locals around the world to contribute directly to this new platform that I want to build. That's all I really want to say about it because I don't want
enough to have me intrigued.
Yeah, hopefully it's intriguing, but hopefully you'll see something from me in a year. Like, hopefully I can get this thing off the ground. But yeah, that's awesome. That's next for me. Yeah.
So when will Chasing the World be released? Like, have you got any plans to release it on any of the platforms? Or
yeah, there's a lot of platforms that are interested in it, and I am trying to figure out which one to release it, because I've had a lot of friends that have released their 360 stuff and then it just like doesn't get seen. Like, it'll go on one of those platforms and then it'll be like married to that platform, and like we just don't know which one's gonna take off, and like VR isn't really like mainstream yet, and I don't want to like just like release it and then have it like not, I don't know. So I'm being really selective about it, and I feel like I'm not in a huge rush to release them. I'm waiting for like the right opportunity, and if anybody wants to see them, you can just email me and I'll just send you links.
And I would suggest that.
But yeah, for sure. Oh yeah. Thanks, man. But yeah, no, I think that like the thing with Chasing the World, it can be, it has like an educational spin to it. I think it could really be distributed in educational environments. Like, so I kind of want to go in that direction a bit. Maybe integrate it in curriculums, because it's got like really cool shots, like the paragliding, hot air ballooning, like all that, that would get like the youth really excited. It also has an educational element to it as well. And I think that, and like whenever I show my work to kids, they just love it. So I would like to see it maybe in like VR cinemas or like museums or like VR theaters. And I'm talking to a few different theaters and cinemas around the world who are really interested in moving forward with this. But yeah, I think that would be probably the best way to see it. And then also, like, I don't want to just give it to like a platform who just like pushes it on social media or like wants to break it up, because they're really cool shots. And yeah, they like could make really great social media content. Like, I've had distributors who wanted to like take it and like just release it in small bits, like on social media. And I think it's just like not how it's meant to be seen. It's meant to be seen in VR. So yeah, I'm still working out the distribution, what to do with it. I think we all are, everybody in the VR scene, trying to figure it out.
So what other projects are you working on? Do you do any commercial projects or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm in, I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about this, but yeah, I'm in Sydney right now and I'm working on a project for the ABC, which is the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, in Screen New South Wales. And it's for a company called Rapid VR, the same company that first taught me VR like a couple of years ago. So we're doing something really exciting with them. Like, this is, I'm so excited to be working on this project. And not sure if I'm allowed to talk about it. So it's any specifics, because usually they're very secretive about everything they're doing. I don't know if this one is, but I don't want to like get myself in trouble. So I'm going to stop.
That's fair enough. Yeah, so what's your favorite piece of content at the moment, excluding your own?
Like, my favorite piece of content. Well, I was just at Tribeca Film Festival checking out all the VR stuff. And There was one, and I think it might have, yeah, there was one that really was really good. It was called Queer Skins, and like just the way they had the environment set up. So it's about it's like a volumetric piece, and you're in the back of this car, and it's these this older couple talking about driving like through a graveyard, and it sort of turns out their son has died of AIDS, and they're like very religious, and so you like slowly find out about like the way like the story unfolds. And it's like volumetric too, so you can move your head around, and it's like a video, so it's like really well done. And then you can pick up like there's like a box of objects in the back seat, and you can with the Oculus controllers pick them up and inspect them, and they're talking about him and his life. And then like yeah, it was just really powerful. It's hard to explain. I really liked
Sounds really
that
cool,
one.
though.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was really cool. And yeah, and then there's I thought a really good one that I've seen, like, so in Cannes last year, I saw Arden's Wake when it was like shorter. That's by Penrose Studios, and they're trying to be like the Pixar of VR, and I think they're like pretty much on their way to it because it's I really like their work. And so it's this, it's like looking you're big, and it's like you're looking in on a dollhouse of this like VR animation. And yeah, it's like really cool. And I don't, yeah, it's not interactive. Like you can't really pick up things, but I think that's okay. I think that there's a trend right now with VR, like needing to be interactive, and that's like the new wave. And like, yeah, that could add to the story. But with this one, like, no, you're just like an outsider peeking in. You can like look around. You can look, since you're giant and the characters are small, you can like move around these entire environments. Then you go like under the water with them, and like the girl's like searching for her father who just went into the water. And yeah, no, I really like those two. Those two come to my head the most. And I just saw the longer version in Tribeca, so it gets really cool. I can see where it's going, and I like it.
That sounds awesome. I'll keep an eye out for those. Yeah, cool. All right, so I think we can start to wrap up. So where can people find you online?
So if you go to chasingtheworld.com, that's the website for the travel series. And then you can also go to danielberry.com, which is just my name.com, and then you can see like other work of mine, including like 2D music videos and stuff that I've made as well. And my handle for Instagram and Twitter is chasingworldvr. And yeah, but if you go to chasingtheworld.com, you'll be able to find everything and see the trailer, and you can download the episodes if you have the password. And if you want the password, you can contact me on social media or email.
Awesome. Okay, well, thanks again for chatting to me.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. It's been awesome.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed that chat with Daniel. Big thanks to him for taking the time to come on the podcast. Links to everything mentioned will be in the show notes so you can check out his work. I would definitely suggest reaching out to him about watching his Chasing the World series. It really is awesome. Don't forget, if you're an independent 360 or VR creator and want to come and chat about your work, drop me an email at vrsidechats@gmail.com. You can also follow at vrsidechats on Facebook and Twitter. Also, I head out to Southeast Asia next week to do a little bit of travelling and shoot some 360. So you can check out what I'm up to on all the main social medias at Daniel K. Hatton. That's HATTON. And I'll be posting a lot of 360 content on Veer as well, so be sure to check that out. So that wraps it up for this week. Thanks again for listening, and I shall see you all next week.